All right, I want to share something that I hope you will not be offended. And even if you are offended, I don't want to apologize because this is a message that I believe God gave to me. All right, I was very, very convicted. All right, and also I feel that I need to share this message to all of you. So today, if you have a Bible, kindly turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verse 31 to 32. And I would like to read to you from the ESV version. Genesis 11, 31 to 32. It says here in verse 31, Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Verse 32, the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Shall we bow our heads to pray? Father, this morning we thank you for the provision of your word for the body of Christ. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you anoint the preaching of your word. Let your word convict us. Let your word motivate us this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just commit the entire congregation to you on site and those who are watching online. Lord, you touch them and be with us and guide whatever I have to say. In Jesus' name, I ask and I pray. One of the most beautiful and miraculous things in life is to see the conception of a life undergo full gestation, culminating in the natural birth of a full-term baby. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 3 says this, to everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born. Therefore, an untimely birth through abortion or miscarriage is one of the most traumatic and heartbreaking experiences for a mother to be. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I would like to share a sermon entitled Spiritual Abortions and Miscarriages, using the life of Terah as an example. And my outline this morning will be as follows. First, I want to talk about what is spiritual abortion and miscarriages and its effects. Number two, I want to talk about Terah, a man who might have been. And number three, when spiritual abortion occurs. And number four, how to avert spiritual abortion. Let's look at point number one. What is spiritual abortion? What is spiritual miscarriage and its effects? In literal term, abortion is a term that refers to the termination of a pregnancy by the choice, by the will of the mother-to-be. It is a deliberate termination of a pregnancy by the choice and decision of the mother-to-be. And miscarriage, in a literal term, is simply defined as a spontaneous abortion. But in a figurative sense, I'm talking about a spiritual aspect. A spiritual abortion is defined as any fruit or produce that does not come to maturity because it has been forced into a premature birthing process. Spiritual abortion is also defined as anything that fails in its progress because it did not wait for God's timing. Spiritual abortion is also defined as a failure to produce the intended effect because of willful disobedience on our part to God's plan. A great thing like birth or a baby at the wrong time can result in a spiritual abortion. Spiritual abortion leaves scars on our life and even on the church. Let me give you an example practically in our own life. Maybe some of you here, you have conceived a vision like college education or a business and seen a certain level of success and then experienced spiritual abortion. It could be in aspect for education, you may have not studied hard in the second year of your college, or it could be you have used your tuition fees for other non-essential and therefore you have no more money left to finish for the third and the fourth year and you have to drop out from college halfway. Or it could be that while God opened the door, God allowed you to have a taste, you know, of college education. And once you get into university, you, in your own foolish way, skip lectures and tutorials to play truants. And therefore, you have to drop out halfway. This is what I call an example of a spiritual abortion. As for business, you may have no working knowledge to run your business, or you may have invested on the wrong things, and so your business fails. Another example on a church level is a church vision has experienced life, and then through poor leadership, poor decisions, unwise budgeting, or moral failure, been aborted. I would like to give you a real story of this pastor in Singapore who had conceived a prophetic vision from God. You want to talk about the powerful ministry of Pastor James? This guy, if I'm not wrong, is as powerful as Pastor James. Sharp prophetic ministry. He was moving very powerfully and prophetically in Singapore. Under his leadership, many powerful and capable leaders were raised up. His church began to grow exponentially, even expanding beyond the shores of Singapore to Latin America. This church even came to Iloilo City to conduct a seminar at Amigo Hotel in the late 1980s. But then, the pastor committed adultery with his secretary, who was from one of his mission work from Latin America, and the whole vision of God was aborted. The church split into various factions, lawsuits were filed against him, and the church leadership had to bring in an arbitrator to arbitrate the church conflicts between the pastor and the laity. It seems that the pastor was unrepentful over his moral failure, and eventually the Lord smote the pastor with a severe sickness, if I'm not wrong, cancer, causing him not able to use his vocal cords for his vocal prophetic gifting, and in the end, he died. The very part of his lawas, which God had used very powerfully to impact the community and the world, was the very part God took away. He lost his prophetic voice, his church does not exist today in Singapore, and his members and leaders now are scattered and serving in other churches. And let me tell you, all his leaders that he raised up were all very talented and gifted. I had an opportunity, you know, to meet up with a few of his leaders in three different churches in Singapore. And, you know, they were all wonderful people. They are very capable leaders, very charismatic leaders. And I was shocked when I was told by them that they were actually from this guy's church. So you can see here in this example, spiritual abortion resulted from this pastor because of his willful disobedience to God. He failed to produce the intended effect of God's vision. In a way, he was the one who induced the spiritual abortion, aborting the prophetic vision that God allowed him to carry. Here, please note, in spiritual abortion, the fault lies with the recipient or the carrier of the vision or the plan of God. Spiritual miscarriage, on the other hand, is defined as unfortunate or unforeseen termination of an undertaking. To put it simply, spiritual miscarriage means to fail or to suffer defeat applied to persons, undertaking, and things. Spiritual miscarriages, unfortunately, are a common problem among Christians and churches today. We do experience defeat in our spiritual life. We do experience failures in our own life. Let me give you an example. The church may go through great trials and take much time to become pregnant with the purposes of God, pregnant with the vision and the promises of God for the future. Therefore, when a church experiences the joy of conception but does not carry anything full term, what happened? Fear and bitterness will infiltrate the church. Case in point is our very own church in 2012. We were pregnant with great vision for ETAP, but then attacks from enemy forces from without caused ETAP to miscarry, with many leaving our church at that time. We lost our baby. We lost our fruit. We lost our spiritual children and was not able to enjoy them with us today. Another example is about you as parents. You as parents, you raise your child in godly fear and in godly ways. You conceive great hope and plans for your child. But when your child grows up, he becomes rebellious and refuses to follow the ways of the Lord. What are you going through? I should say, you have experienced a spiritual miscarriage. The vision God gave you for your children suffers defeat, and it is of no fault of your own. Next, another example, a relational example. You are in a relationship with a guy after praying so long for one, but then after getting along for some time, things do not work out, and both of you have to break up. I call that unfortunate termination of a boy-girl relationship through no fault of both of you. You both just couldn't click. Spiritual miscarriage has to do with failures and defeats of life. Spiritual miscarriage has to do with failures and defeats of ministry, not by willful disobedience by the recipient, but simply by the fallenness and the brokenness of life, or even by demonic forces. Case in point, our church in 2012. Now, whether it is spiritual abortion or spiritual miscarriage, the common characteristics we see here are premature termination of the conception. It may be the conception of the will of God, conception of the plan of God, conception of the call of God, conception of the vision of God. Whatever it is, it was prematurely terminated. Another common characteristic you see here is what might have been does not come to pass. Another characteristic is an endeavor, a vision, or an obedience was only halfway through and never reaches full term or completion. And what are the effects if today you fall into the category of spiritual abortion or miscarriages? What do you feel today if you experience spiritual abortion in your ministry or spiritual miscarriages in your life? You will feel shame, regret, anger, depression, guilt, and numbness. Ask some of the real mothers here who have undergone spiritual abortion. The number one emotion they will tell you that they are feeling is guilt. Ask some of the mothers here who are 5 months pregnant but miscarried. Ask them, and they will always tell you they feel shameful, they feel angry, okay, they feel regret, and they keep on blaming themselves. So these are some of the effects, okay, of spiritual abortion or miscarriages. And for the spiritual miscarriage, there will be an obsession to stimulate vision just to feel normal again. Any woman that experienced miscarriage, their obsession is, I want to conceive again, and they keep on trying to have a baby. It's like us in 2012. When we see so many spiritual fruits, you know, dropping out from this church, what is the stimulation of our ministry? We want to see this church grow. We want to give birth again. We want to conceive. We want to see more and more souls coming into this church. And that is a wrong way to handle spiritual miscarriage, which I will share to you in the end part, how to overcome, okay, spiritual miscarriage. Now, let's go on to our second part, and that is terror. Let's look at a live example of a man who might have been Terah, a man who had experienced spiritual abortion and miscarriage. And he's the best example as our case study today. He's well known today as a halfway Christian, a man who might have been, but he did not reach the full potential that God had destined for him. Who is Terah? Terah is known in the Bible as the father of Abraham, known later as Abraham. Terah is mentioned in Jesus' genealogy in Luke chapter 3, verse 34. In fact, if Terah is known at all, it is not because of anything he ever did. Rather, he is overshadowed by his descendant, Abraham. Terah was the son of Nahor, and Nahor was the son, okay, or rather, Nahor came from the line of Noah's son, Shem. Nahor fathered Terah at the age of 29, and this is found in Genesis 11:24. But Terah was 70 years old before his three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran were born. And this is found in verse 26 of our key text. Haran was the father of Lot, Abram's nephew and traveling companion, but Haran died during Terah's lifetime. And this is found in verse 28 of our key text. After Haran's death, Terah uprooted his family from their home in Ur of the Chaldeans and set out for the land of Canaan. For unknown reasons, Terah never made it to their destination, but stopped and settled in Haran instead. And this is where Terah died at age 205. Let's now look at the life and the journey of Terah. Terah's name means delay or wanderer. By studying the family tree of Terah, we witness these heartbreaking lines. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Can you imagine? Haran died before his father. I do not know about you, but I've seen this in my mother's life. One of the worst things in all of life happened to Terah. His son died before he died. Normally, the parents are the ones who are supposed to die first. Parents are not supposed to outlive their children. But if that wasn't bad enough, ESV version reads like this. Haran died in the presence of his father, Terah, in the land of his kindred, in Ur of the Chaldeans. So it's quite possible that not only did Haran die time-wise before his father, constituting a spiritual miscarriage experience for Terah, he conceived the vision of parenthood, but did not manage to see his child live to maturity. So it could be that Haran actually died before or in the presence of his father. In other words, Terah actually watched his son die. Whether it was from a disease, sickness, or accident, we don't know. But that was something that no one should ever have to witness. I saw the bitterness, I saw the brokenness, I saw, you know, the disillusionment in my mother's life, okay, when she witnessed not only three of his sons die ahead of her, but even her own grandson died ahead of her. I can't imagine the pain, the grief, the loss that Terah went through following the loss of his son Haran. But I want to state this statement, which is very strong. The death of Haran then colors everything else in Terah's life, everything else in his journey. And this is where Terah gets up, takes his family, and heads out on a journey from his homeland to Canaan. The question is, why did he decide to leave his homeland? Well, it could be God originally called Terah to go to Canaan with the same promise that were later given to his son Abraham. It could also be that the death of Haran loosened Terah's attachment to his homeland. Maybe he began to view Ur as unlucky. After all, his sons died there, and in his presence, Pagit, and his daughter, Sarai, was Baas and unable to conceive. And so maybe he thought that a change of scenery would change his luck. Remember, they are all idolaters in the land of Ur, the Chaldeans. Maybe Terah was designed to fulfill the one meaning of his name and wonder. Maybe he was the kind of guy who normally didn't settle down, but always kept looking at the horizon, kept dreaming, kept longing for more. But whatever the reason, the fact remains. Terah got up, took his family, and headed off to Canaan. It was the design of Terah and the design of God for them to settle in Canaan. And so, he sets up from a place of hurt to a place of hope, represented by Canaan. So, Terah headed off towards Canaan. The route from Ur of the Chaldeans to Canaan was 1,000 miles. And he went directly through the town of Haran. Haran was 600 miles away from Ur and 400 miles away from Canaan, which was about halfway between Ur and Canaan. I want you to look at the map. Can you see down below here? Okay, on the right side, all right, is the land of Ur. Ur is the present Iraq. He was supposed to go all the way to Jerusalem, which is Canaan, but he stopped halfway in the middle, which is Haran, and Haran is the present Syria of today. Haran was apparently, the town or the city Haran was apparently a settlement that had been established by Terah's son Haran, or to which at least his name had become attached. The family, as some scholars believe, was originally from there before they moved to Ur. And no doubt, coming back to the town that bore the name of his dead son caused Terah to relieve the pain of losing his son. And all these emotions and pain that he tried to push down resurfaced. And it is this pain and loss that derailed his journey. It is this pain and loss that aborted the call of God in his life. Terah had to pass through a place that reminded him of his greatest relational pain. To get to the land of hope, he had to again go through the land of hurts. Maybe some of you here, maybe there is a land of hope that God wants to lead you, but before you can arrive there, you have to go through the land of hurt. And I want to remind you, I want to exhort you, do not stay in the land of hurt. Do not let God's call be derailed by the land of hurt that you have to stop temporarily. If not, you will miss the land of hope. The next scene we see here is that when they arrived in Haran, they settled there, and that is where Terah died, never ending his journey in Canaan. He had a dream to make it to Canaan, but the dream died with him in Haran. The word settle indicates that they don't just lodge there overnight in a hotel, but they remain there for an extended period of time. And therefore, Terah lives up to the second meaning of his name, delay. He settled in Haran, delaying the call of God till he lost the call of God, till he aborted the call of God. Why Terah's journey to Canaan was derailed? Why did Terah abort the call of God upon his life? Few reasons. Maybe it was that he came down with a disease and could physically go no more. Maybe his journey got stuck. Or maybe he just thought that he didn't deserve to hope anymore. The pain of the loss of his son was too much, and he lost the hope of having a better life. Or maybe he thought, this is all there is, and I should stop dreaming, I should stop wondering, I should just settle. Maybe, and I think this last reason is the most appropriate one, or maybe according to the definition of the word Haran, which I said just now is the modern Syria, it means caravan route. And Haran was conveniently located on the Euphrates River. Compared to Ur, which is the present Iraq, which was a desert land, Haran looked much better. Compared to Canaan, on the other hand, which was undeveloped and full of unknowns, Terah opted to play it safe. Maybe in his mind, he thinks, why risk an adventure into Canaan? Just settle in this comfortable city where the merchants converged to trade. So it could be that once Terah and family lost their momentum by stopping, they just got comfortable. Inertia, this word, took over them. Inertia means an object at rest tends to stay at rest. Inertia took over, so they just settled in. Maybe Terah felt comfortable enough that he just did not feel the need to sacrifice more in order to be blessed. Just like some of us here sitting in our church, you are settling into a comfortable career. You are settling into a comfortable marriage. You are settling into a comfortable life. And therefore, you see no more need to strive and sacrifice for the calling of God. You see no more need to sacrifice and go all the way out in serving God, or even to serve the ministry that God has put you in. Here, Terah is a picture of a Christian who caught a sense of something more or something new, but stopped along the way and settled and never reached it. His journey never made it to Canaan, the land of hope. Terah's lack of faith and leadership kept him out of the land of promise and from fulfilling the call which God undoubtedly put on his life. I should say, Terah aborted the call of God willfully. He obeyed God partially. He was only 400 miles away from Canaan, but he did not push through. He traveled only halfway. He obeyed only halfway, which is also tantamount to disobedience in the eyes of God. He was lured by his own idolatrous heart for comfort. Remember, I said again and again, he and his whole families were idolaters. Terah settled for less. His losses began to define him. His relational wounds overcame him and stagnated his journey. His pain derailed the journey to the land of hope. Let me ask you this question as an application. How many of us in our lives mirrored what happened to Terah? Maybe for some of you, you began this Christian journey with hope, excitement, passion, but now you are stagnant, bitter, disillusioned with people and the church, and you are stuck. Maybe you have some significant relational wounds. Maybe you have witnessed the physical death of someone and it has shaken you. Or maybe you have witnessed the relational death of some relationship that at one point was strong and those relationships were helping you to continue with the journey, but now that relationship died. And now you feel you don't want to give God anymore. You don't want to serve God anymore. And you feel like settling for less. Or maybe God put a vision, a dream, a goal in your life. And you dreamed, you planned, you took steps towards those things. But then, because of spiritual miscarriages, failures, defeat came in, you feel that now you are stuck. That your dreams are dead and dying. That you have lost hope. And that you are now in the midst of losing it. Maybe you're feeling stuck in your journey and you do not know how to get it unstuck. And that brings me to my third point. When spiritual abortion occurs, when do Christians abort the plans, the will, and the calling of God halfway in their life, halfway in their journey? When do people stop short of doing everything that God asks? Well, they do that when they feel they have done enough. Terah traveled 600 miles to Haran with a big family over difficult terrains. And it could be when he got to Haran, maybe he said inside his heart, that's enough. Let's settle here. We traveled long enough. The journey is arduous enough. It's like many, many old Christians would say to new Christians who are on fire. The words of the old Christian is, we have come to church every Sunday for the last 40 years. We have given faithfully to God's word for the last 40 years. We have supported missions and ministry in several places for the last 40 years. We have lived decent lives for the last 40 years. We have come so far in following God. And so we can stop now that we are old. Discipleship is tough. And this is as far as we are going. We have done enough. This is what many old Christians' mentality is all about. And today, I want to thank God for some of the seniors in our church who do not think like that. Some of the seniors in our church, the older they are, the more on fire they are. More on fire than you, the young people. Like Susan Leda and her group. Let's give her a warm applause. So on fire with Delia. Very on fire. Look at those seniors who have gone ahead of us to be with God in the land of glory. Rubini, Aunt Celeste, Rose, Dayaon. These are all the seniors. Their passions are unmatched by some of us who are much younger than them. But the majority of old Christians, whether in age or in spiritual age, this is their mentality. We have served God enough. Let the younger generation serve. And then you begin to give up the calling of your God halfway, even though you are still healthy and alive. So spiritual abortion happens when you feel you have done enough. Next thing, spiritual abortion happens when you feel you have had enough. In other words, you are burnt out, worn out, stressed out, and weary. Like what happened to me when the crisis struck me in 2012, I was really, really, tired, burnt out, and I needed a rest. And yet the church here refused to let me go. But God was very good. He refused to let me go, even though I was away for 2 months, you know, in LSBC to sort of like, you know, study their SDC paradigm. And you know, you all were complaining and refused to let me go, you know, even though I was really so stressed out. When I wanted to take a rest in Singapore, I never had the intention of quitting. I just wanted a break. But you didn't want to release me, so God gave it back to us, using circumstances, by locking the doors for us to return, and God let me rest for 20 months. Hallelujah. So, okay, I just want to tell you, all right, I may be going back to Singapore again, all right, in February, because if you read the news, Philippines has declared that they will open up, okay, to foreign tourists without any application to the Philippine embassies in whatever countries they are in. You can just come out with the automatic tourist visas of 2 weeks. All right, so even though my Niger visa is not approved yet, I want to take advantage of these open doors, okay, to fly back to Singapore. And when I fly back to Philippines again from Singapore, I don't have to go through quarantine anymore. This is the new rules pertaining to foreigners. And I need to go back because of some legal matters pertaining to the dead estate of my sister, I mean to the estate of my dead sister, okay, or my late sister, if I may say it in a more polished way. So, abortion happens when you feel you have had enough. You're burnt out and therefore you quit. Alright, next. Abortion happens when you feel God is asking more than you can give. And let me give you an example of Harry and Christine, church members of a certain church. One was a lawyer and the other a counselor. Both were immensely likable, talented, and committed to God's work. They were very interested in missionary work overseas and often said it would only be a matter of a few years before they would answer the call to go overseas as missionaries. Then they began to fall off the pedestal of perfection on which their own pastor had put them on. When the pastor asked them to serve in any ministry, their answer is always a no. Then they relocated and bought a much bigger house. And the last thing about them was they drifted away from God and never were found in church again. It wasn't their time or service which had boundaries. It was their discipleship, and they could not move outside the boundaries they had placed around their patuo. Not even the call of God could move them outside the lines they had drawn around their Christian commitment. Terah never reached Canaan. He stopped in Haran, lived there for many, many years, and finally he died in Haran. Do you know what is another definition for Haran? It is parched and barren. And this is what I want to say to you, brothers and sisters. Many Christians, because of spiritual abortion, aborting the plan and the call of God prematurely, die barren and parched spiritually. So today, whatever things you pray and read, you feel that you are dead, you feel that you are not fruitful. Could it be that there is disobedience in your life? The disobedience could be that you have embarked something that God asked you to do and you gave it up halfway. God asked you to be a cell leader, you can never push through your cell ministry. You gave up the cell leader, the DJ cell ministry halfway. God gave you a music ministry, you only practice the organ halfway, and then you gave up. God gave you a ministry of winning souls in the community. You were so on fire in the beginning, but halfway through, like Terah, it's so difficult to travel, you know. The terrain is hard. The terrain, you know, of community works is hard, and therefore, you gave it up. And what is your spiritual condition today? You are parched, you are barren. If you're in your Haran today, you will not be blessed. You are in a parched and a barren place because of spiritual abortion. You give up the call of God halfway in your life. So, how to avert spiritual abortion? Well, two ways. Number one, understand that Christianity is not a negotiated contract between us and God. Christianity is not a contract. Rather, it is a total surrender of our lives. Jesus said in Luke 14, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. How clear can this verse get? commitment to Jesus is complete. It's laying down our lives. It's following His call. No matter where it takes us, it's accepting His will, whether it is for better or for worse. It is about going through every stage and circumstances of life until we draw our final breath in this life and first breath in the next. It is something we try to see. It's not something that we try to see if it works out for us or not. You know, serving God is not like testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. No! I go full-time staff first and see whether it works or not. If not, I drop out. I go mission to see whether it works or not. If not, I drop out. No! Christian commitment is not something we try to see if it works out or not. It's not for you as long as it feels good. You go to some, you do the DJ cell ministry. You know, you serve God because you have 20 people and then you bring that down to 2. And what happened? You give up. No! You no more become committed because your ministry in the cell has dwindled to 2. And you don't feel good. So because you don't feel good, you just give up. No, Christian commitment is not like that. It's not a deal which can be renegotiated when we find it is too hard. Rather, Christian commitment is giving over your life. Your life involving what? Involving every breath, every thought, every intention, every plan, every principle, every relationship. All these areas are to be given over to the Lord. It's giving our hope to become and our everything to Almighty God and saying, do with me according to your will and purpose. The prayer of Mary to Jesus or to God. This is not an elite standard of faith reserved only for missionary like Pastor Tony and me. No! Rather, this is a standard of faith Jesus considered viable. Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. So how to prevent spiritual abortion? You must understand that Christianity is not a negotiated contract between you and God. Christianity is a total surrender of our life. We live simply for God. We live with everything we have for God. Next, how to avert spiritual abortion? Understand that God determines the call and not you. You're not God. God's plan for our lives, involving who we will share it with, involving what we will do, where it is, how long it is, how hard it is, how fruitful we will be. All of these things are God's business, not yours. Often, service to God and ministry feel too demanding. Often, people have hurt us, frustrated us, or disappointed us. And so we say to ourselves, it's too much. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to quit. I'll settle for a less hurtful ministry. Either you stop serving God or you settle for a less demanding ministry according to your own choice, according to your own definition. But God is saying to us today, and He says this, who said it will be easy? Who called you? Who decide when it's all over? It's God. He's the author and the finisher of our calling, not you. Today, let's look beyond our borders. To many missionaries overseas, and all these are real stories. There's one missionary living in a house where the rats run around inside, where there are no running water and no electricity, where the toilet is just a hole in the ground with a screen around it, where the shower was just a bucket of cold water hung on a pole with a hose and a shower head pushed to the bottom of the bucket. There's another missionary in a place where babies dies, where malnutrition and diseases are destroying the next generation, and where those who try to help never have the resources needed to make a real difference. Then there's our missionaries who find that the people that they serve take and take and take the material assistance they give and still want more but show no response at all to the gospel they share. Sounds like Cambodians, right? I hope Cambodians are not watching this live stream. Then there are missionaries, and these are true, living in homes scarred with bullets hole, where there's gunfire every night and often through the day, and where they know that one day they can be caught in a crossfire. These are just some of the many tough places missionaries serve. These people, these missionaries are like you and me. They are common people. They are not especially brave. Oftentimes they are discouraged and frightened too, like you and me. But they are still there. Why? You interview all these missionaries that I just listened to you. Their answer is always the same. Why are you still there? In tough places where there's no comfort, their answer is always the same. Because God called me. And he hasn't called me away to anywhere else yet. Brothers and sisters, God's call, not our comfort, not the results you see, not the opposition you face, not even our weariness, that is what determines our service. You don't serve God just so that this church can be 1,000 people. Even if this church is one people and God called you to this church, you still have to preach at a pulpit. You don't serve God because of results. You don't serve God because of opposition. Like 2012, we faced oppositions. We did not give up. We stand strong in the name of Jesus Christ. Not even our weariness. I was burnt out. I asked only for a few months away. But I still come back. That is what determines our service. Terah set up for Canaan. But comfort culture or commercial interest meant he never got further than Haran. He aborted the call because of this idol called comfort. And comfort includes, you know, a certain level of high living, a certain level of commercial interest. Maybe, you know, he prospers there because Haran is the caravan route. He stopped halfway. Brothers and sisters, the call of God for us is not a half marathon. It is for the whole mileage. And I pray that there be nothing ever that causes us to quit, to willfully abort the call of God upon our lives. We must not be people stuck in the rut. We are the people who move forward as long as God gives us breath. The call of God is to complete surrender, and the call continues as long as God determines, not you. Now, this seems like a crushing call to all of us. It is a tough call. And how many of us today are willing to pay this costly price of discipleship and to go all the way with Jesus till the end? How many of us find that it's easier to, you know, commit spiritual abortion? How many of us finds it easier to give up halfway? Well, before you say, I think I cannot fulfill this call of God, then today, allow me to direct your attention to the life of Jesus one more time. Allow me to help you to visualize the life of Jesus Christ one more time. Jesus conceived the plan of God for the salvation of mankind from God the Father. Jesus was born with a great calling in a humble and smelly stable. Talk about comfort. He wasn't born in a comfortable environment. Jesus was raised as a human, pregnant with the purpose of God. He underwent all kinds of temptation in the desert, one of which is where the devil used Haran, representing the riches and the comfort of the world, to tempt him to abort the plan of God by bowing down before the devil. But Jesus did not succumb. When Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, Peter, being used by the devil, tried to stop him from going to the cross. And this is another attempt of the devil to abort the plan of God. But Jesus rebuked the devil behind Peter's suggestion. Jesus carried the plan of God all the way to the cross and was crucified on it. There was the miscarriage of justice for their death sentence because it was unfair. After the crucifixion, his disciples were also disillusioned by this spiritual miscarriage. They felt that Jesus had failed in his mission as Israel's Messiah. They murmured, but we had hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. Luke 24:21. Hopelessness, grief, disillusion crowded their spirit. But little did they know that the cross was not a period. The cross was not a full stop. The cross was a semicolon. Because resurrection followed after the third day, and the plan of God in a form of redemption, justification, and propitiation were carried out to the fullest by the death and resurrection of that one man who did not come down from the cross halfway. Jesus went all the way in his suffering in the cross. And he went all the way down to the bottomless hell called Hades. Went down to the bottom, not bottomless. He went down to the bottom, Hades, so that today, by you and me, looking at how much Christ has fully suffered for us, we will not give up halfway. We will not give up nor be a halfway disciple of God. But we will yoke with Christ's endurance to see the plan and calling come to complete fruition in our life. We will not be the one to determine when to abort the plan of God in our lives, but we will fully commit to God in the degree we grasp how much Christ is fully committed to us on the cross. And even though today we may be in relational pain now, like us, we are very disillusioned by church leaders, yet we will always see how Jesus himself experienced his fair share of relational pain and wound, betrayal by his beloved disciples, abandonment by his own father, so that today we can claim his comfort, his healing, his companionship in any relational wounds we are undergoing now. You will not commit spiritual abortion if today, graphically, you can grasp how much Christ stick onto the cross till the full plan of salvation was accomplished by his death and his resurrection. And that is the motivating vision in front of me each time I think of quitting this church and going back. Christ never come down halfway. So why should I abandon the call of God halfway? Even though men use, you know, my visa here, men use, you know, pressure, men use slanders, men use evil designs to force me out of Philippines, I stood firm, not because of myself. I have no more human strength to stand firm. I stood firm because of the call of God. I saw the vision of Jesus Christ never coming down. Why should I come down to the level of my enemies? Like the enemies during Nehemiah times asked Nehemiah to come down. Nehemiah said, why should I come down? I'm building the walls of Jerusalem. Why should I come down? I'm building the walls of salvation. Not me, but the Holy Spirit within me, inspiring me, motivating me, empowering me to build the walls of salvation here in this city. And no demonic force can force me to miscarry. Yeah, I lost some members. So what? There's always a rebirth. Christ died. He lost everything. But there's resurrection. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Resurrection! A new day, a new mercy, a new steadfast love, new faithfulness of God. I ask you in conclusion, have you unwisely and deliberately aborted the plan and the calling of God upon your life? Simply because ministry is not comfortable, ministry is not easy, simply because there's no growth, simply because there's opposition in the ministry and the call of God in your life, or simply because there's relational wounds, you're wounded by the people of the church, you're wounded by the leaders, you're wounded by the members of the church. Have you shrunk back from your commitment to the church because of hurt and relational wound? Then my answer to you is, repent. You have to repent. Tara deliberately aborted the call of God in his life because of hurt. Too hurt to go on fighting the difficulties to reach the land of Canaan. He remained in the land of hurt. He died in the land of hurt. He never made it to the land of hope. If today you are this category, you repent by faith, receive the healing of Jesus, and let him rebirth through the hope, through the help of the Holy Spirit, the hope and the love again. And for some of you, have you experienced a spiritual miscarriage where you fail in certain undertakings which God has given you? Then let your spiritual womb rest for a while. Let the Holy Spirit come in and heal your spirit man. Do not be in a hurry to conceive another new vision for your business, another new vision for your education, another new vision for your church ministry. Like me, I was wrong. When we miscarried in 2012, I was in a hurry to want to build the church to 1,000 again, to make my enemy feel shameful. But then there was a drag, because God wants to use his time to heal me, to give me a new vision again. And I thank God the new vision came during the 20 months that I was in Singapore. My advice to those of you who have experienced a spiritual failure, a spiritual defeat in your life, wait upon God. Don't run ahead of him. In due time, he will call you and speak to you again. Tara had to die first before God speak again to Abraham in the next chapter to continue the very first call God gave to Terah. Today, if you're at your Haran in your comfort zone, let God expose all your wrong idols of comfort, a spirit of ease. And like Terah, die, crucify their idols on the cross and receive this new call of discipleship from Jesus so that a new vision can be birthed in you again. Recommit yourself fully and wholly to the calling of God. Recommit yourself and live your life fully to the plan, the vision, and the will of God for your life. And you can only commit in the degree you see Jesus Christ committing himself fully to you at the cross. I'm not a perfect person. I make a lot of blunders. Sometimes in the preaching, you know, give the examples that hurt you. Or sometimes give, you know, example too life, too real that you are hurt. But this is one thing I can tell you. I just want to live for God. Because my life was really rotten. Before I received Jesus Christ, my life was really a failure. That is spiritual miscarriage. My life was a defeated life in all levels. You want to talk about education? I failed. You want to talk about, you know, family life? I failed. My family was splintered. Bankruptcy was really declared legally. Father, mother split. Brothers, seven of us go in several directions. I have no home to go to. You talk about having no family. I failed at that. I even failed in my boy-girl relationship with a guy I love very much. But I thank the Lord. Jesus Christ, who went through all my failures at the cross by dying on my place, he came and birthed in me a new life. Today, I can tell you, I'm not a barren woman. Physically, I'm not barren. Spiritually, I'm not barren. And even in my own disobedience, I may have aborted the plan of God. I ran ahead of God together with my husband to buy this land. It was my mistake. It was my sin. But there's hope for some of you if you have spiritual abortion. Repent. And be willing to pay the price. We paid the price 7 years for our mistake. Whether it's through the public church discipline imposed by our ex-church or even troubles with some of you here. We paid the price. But then God did not leave us there to die in our aborted plans. No. He resurrected us with a new vision. Today, this is the new baby. This church is the new baby. You are the new babies that God has caused me to give birth again. Those of you physically, if you are going through a spiritual miscarriage in the name of Jesus Christ, you put the idol of wanting to have a baby at the cross and just wait for God. At His right time, He will help you to conceive again. And those of you who are, you know, physically, literally aborting your baby, don't dwell in condemnation, in guilt. Remember at the cross, Jesus already foresaw you would do that and He already died for you in advance so that guilt will be removed. But don't do it again. Faith and repentance, turn around and give your life to God. Shall we bow our heads to pray? Worship team, I want to ask you, where are you settling today? In Haran or in Canaan? Where are you feeling stuck today? What things have sidetracked or derailed you? Is it a relational wound? You've been hurt and therefore you don't want to go all the way to Jesus. You want to talk about hurt? Look at the hurts Pastor Tony and me have gone through. We did not stop. The Holy Spirit empower us to go all the way with Christ until now. Why? Because of the vision of Jesus never coming down from the cross, even though the crucifixion hurt him. I ask you today, what are some of the vision, dreams and goals that you have for your life? Where are you with them in the midst of your journey now? Are you guilty of aborting the calling of God by settling for a lukewarm love for God? By settling for a mediocre marriage, by settling in a comfortable career at the expense of the ministry of God? I ask you right now to trust God again, to repent and say, God, I'm very sorry. I'm guilty of this idol called the idol of comfort. I've allowed the riches of Haran, the prosperity of my career, the prosperity of my education to derail me. But right now, I come back. I come back to you and I want to embrace, I want to carry your calling. I want to carry your purpose again. Do not abandon me. I want to die to this idol so that a new call can come afresh. I want to live for you. I want all of you to stand and use this song as your prayer to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. COVID has caused you to retreat to Haran. You're so comfortable to stay at home, watching live stream without any care or burden to reach out to the community here, to serve in the TKC, the music department, or the DJ cell group, or even in the AVL department. Could it be that some of you today, you just want to hold back your heart from Jesus because you are wounded by us, the pastors? I want to tell you, Jesus was wounded, but he still stayed on the cross. He went all the way to birth salvation in his whole entirety to you and me. And he is our teacher. We are the students. We are not above him. We got to learn from him. And today he has released the Holy Spirit in the midst of us. That whatever your good resolve to live for him, the Holy Spirit can empower you in your spirit man to do just that. He will empower your will and your resolve to keep prodding on despite the rough terrain of Christian discipleship journey until you reach the land of hope. I pray right now that the Holy Spirit will heal you of all your hurts and release forgiveness to people around you or above you so that you can move on without these stones in your heart. I thank the Lord that we are now right with Pastor Jesse. My heart is lighter a bit, that I can go on serving the Lord without that kind of inertia. I can go all the way out for the Lord. I just want to live for God. Brothers and sisters, spiritual abortion and spiritual miscarriage is a shame to the name of God. And today, Christ has taken that shame by being naked for you, so that today you can be clothed in the commitment of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will fulfill the resolve in your heart to live your life
committedly to Him, devotedly to Him, you can do it because of the Spirit of God. I will live for you. I will live for you.
And I will live. And I will live for you.
Yes.
And I will live. And I will live for you.
Through this colored lens, you have lost somebody that is very dear to your life, and right now you are grieving the loss. I should say that you have a spiritual miscarriage. God gave you a taste of that blessing for a while, but then it's taken away, and right now you feel that God has failed you. And this also is another word for a brother. You have gone through a certain loss of your life. And today you're wearing that colored lens towards God, towards people, towards the church. And God today say to you, take off that lens and see me clearly with these spiritual eyes I've given you of me on the cross. You cannot out-suffer me because I suffered a broken heart. And today, if you will just come to the cross, I have the ability to comfort you because I am the master of brokenheartedness. And I know how to put your heart back again in one piece. But you have to have this faith to know that your suffering, your grief is not forever. It will not last forever. Morning shall come again. Your grief shall end and morning shall come again with joy. You shall have the hope of another better and newer relationship. Do not let the losses of your life define you and define God. Because God is still God on the throne. Whether good times and bad times you're going through, He's still God. He's still good. He's still a God of faithfulness, a God of steadfast love. He's a God of mercy and faithfulness. That you can never take it away. But He's beating you now. And He's asking you, don't suffer alone. Don't suffer silently. Don't beat yourself. Don't blame yourself. This is part and parcel of broken life that you are in. Relationships are not 100% guaranteed that it will work. Only He is the 100% sure thing. Put your anchor on Him, and anything around you that shakes, you can still stand firm. That say the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing this song again. Let's spend this time worshiping the Lord. Don't be in a hurry to go home.
You are God.
Let's worship Lord.
From before time began, You are God.
My people, if you acknowledge that I am God on the throne, that means I'm king. And you are my people whom I redeemed in the name of my Son. Who are you to tell me who you shall serve, when you shall serve, how much you shall serve? If you really regard me as the Lord and the King of your life, I have the final say, I have the full say. All I want from you is your final surrender and your full commitment. Do not tell me where to do, what to do, or how to do. You are not greater than I am. I am your creator. I am your master. I am your redeemer. I am your savior. I am your father. You submit to my authority. And you can only do that because I have the right to ask that from you. Because I gave you my highest and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He deserves everything of yours. You have no right to tell me what to do. Come out of your comfort zone. Dare to take up the cross and follow me. Without the cross, there is no Christ. Without the cross, there's no Christianity. You are my disciple. If you are a disciple, my disciple, you cannot be above my Son. If my Son carries the cross, so must you. And you can carry it in the degree you see my Son having carried it for you. You can do it because my Spirit is in you. Greater is He in you than he that's of the world. Therefore, stand up, walk again, and finish this journey that I have put you on. Thus say the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for this message. Help all our leaders, our workers here, not to be like Terah, who spiritually aborted the plans of God simply because he had undergone a spiritual miscarriage in his life. In good times or bad times, in blessing or in failures, we will still serve you. We will still give our life and live for you. This is the desire of our hearts for you. Holy Spirit, honor this desire. Empower us. Release your Pentecostal power upon us, that we can be the people you want us to be, do the things you want us to do, and complete it. Heal those who are hurt. Heal those who are sick today. Heal those who are guilty. Let them put on the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, that they can live in liberty again. In Jesus' name, I ask that you bless my people. Be with them. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.